This lesson, at this time yesterday, this was not the lesson I was going to speak on today. So please forgive me and bear with me as we go through this. I was sitting here last night at Xander's birthday party, and I realized I'm not going to be able to salvage that one yet. It needs more time. So we're going to go. It's a holiday, as Dave said when he asked me to do this. So we're going to do Father's Day. So we're going to look at the top 10 list here. If you see, this is an homage to Mr. Southall. Top 10 list. Okay, translation. When a man says it would take too long to explain, what he actually means is I have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard. I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, are you still talking? Luckily, I've not seen or heard or said all these things yet. That's not what I meant. This is probably one of my favorites. If something can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other. When a man says, I don't remember saying that. Anything I've said six months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. I have never said this one. I just want you to... You look terrific. Oh, please don't try one more outfit. We're late. I'm starving. I have not said that one. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure, honey. Yes, dear. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a conditioned response. I'm not lost. I know exactly where we are. Can we guess where this is going? No one's ever going to see us alive again. I had a conversation this week with the principal where I work, and he said he's got an argument with the GPS system about how to go. He said a couple times he's actually won. His family gets quite frustrated. It's a guy thing. There's no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance at all of making it logical. Yeah. And last but not least, I can't find it. I've probably used this one. It didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. I think at some level we're all guilty of something along those lines. Okay. That didn't come up my corner, but disregard the screen for the moment. Today's Father's Day. It's a day to celebrate fathers, dads, daddies, any name that a child calls their father. I call mine dad. Charlie calls me daddy. Maddie calls me mama or daddy or dada or whatever she's feeling at the time. But we all know research study after anecdotal comment will tell you the importance that dads play in the life of their children and how they steer their children toward the road to success. That's not a slight to moms at all. It's a cooperative effort. It's dads and moms. Two parents. Research study after research study shows how important two parents are. So that's what we want to do. We want to talk about that, about dads. But as men, we live in a time that's a little stressful. Think about the animosity there is. The partisan politics are in the country right now. If you say anything against a group, a person's considered a bigot. So we live in a time where we have to be careful what we say, but we still have to raise our children the way that God wants us to raise them. So it's a very stressful time. And it just keeps getting harder. I remember as a kid, every Father's Day, we'd get the annual Father's Day sermon, and I would be leaving, I'd go, do dads do anything right? And I think Mom and I had a conversation about this multiple times. Do dads do anything right after the annual Father's Day? Not every father's perfect. I know I'm not. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I would hear that sermon on Sunday, then I would see the TV shows, and I'd see the dad who is the inept or incompetent buffoon. The mom ran the show, and the dad just didn't have a clue what was going on. I don't watch Everybody Loves Raymond because I just can't stand the dynamic of the couple. But at home, I saw something different. I saw a loving parents. I saw a dad who was very involved. He was there for us every day. In the summer, summers were great because he would come, and he did this all year long, but he would come home for lunch every day at 11 o'clock. 11:10 to 11:50, he was there with us every day for lunch. He was home every night for dinner. He coached us in sports. He was there for us. He coached us in t-ball, basketball, and soccer. And as a note, that's all that my athletic abilities allowed me to do, and I wasn't very good at any of them. But it was a fun time to be there with Mom and Dad, because they both coached us. In fact, when the new FCA director was hired a few years ago, he said, "Don't your parents, did they coach baseball or basketball?" I said, "Basketball. I know who they are." And to see some of the people who come through now, it's the kids of the people that my parents coached. And even they know about my parents. And my parents are involved now with my niece and nephew who play soccer. Teen grandma, teen grandpa right there. Still to this day. But the message I would hear and the message I would see didn't match up to what reality was. And that was a good thing, because reality was pretty good. And I think that is something that's helped. I know it's helped all three of, both my brothers and me to hopefully grow as dads and be good dads. Because I know my youngest brother, he coaches everything that there is to coach, just like Mom and Dad. He's there all the time. The younger brother, the brother's 2 years younger than me. Not a guy who shows a whole lot of affection, not a guy who shows a lot of emotion, but to see the interaction he has with his son. The hugs, the kisses, I don't remember my brother ever saying I love you or doing anything affectionate, but for his son, he does, because that's what he learned from our dad. So I got the idea last night. It was about 9:30 I started this, and so I tooled around on the internet to find some things to see if there's anything that could help me out. And I've actually found something that helped me out. It breaks down the jobs of dads into 7 areas. And they'll eventually be on the screen one at a time. But there are 7 areas that a father is responsible for. Number one, a father leads. A father teaches. A father provides. A father disciplines and corrects. A father protects. A father loves. And a father leaves a legacy. So let's look at father leads first. That definitely came up in a completely wrong order. We're going to look at Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now, integrity has a couple different meanings. One of those meanings is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. And then also the state of being whole and undivided. And with either definition, integrity is a good thing. It's a good attribute to have. Being honest. My dad he's a plant accountant at the Gallatin Department of Electricity for years, and church treasurer for years. Man dealt with $1 million a day, week. I mean, I don't even want to fathom how many commas were in the things that he dealt with. But if there was a penny out of place, he went looking for it. Talking multi-million dollars, and he's looking for a penny. That's what he instilled in us. Church treasurer, there was never any doubt where the money went, because we didn't get any of it, just like our house now. I mean, we were instilled early to be honest, to make sure we did the right thing. And one of the things we try to teach the two on the floor over there is don't lie about it. And it's still a concept they're trying to understand, but just be truthful. And that's something that for years, my whole life was about being honest, about having strong moral principles. And this is the whole idea of being whole and undivided, standing for what you believe in. You can only be good at one thing. I had a job one time where I was a full-time teacher and a full-time athletic trainer. I wasn't good at either one of them, because I didn't have time to be good at I either had to concentrate on one and be terrible at the other, or try to do a serviceable job for both. I did it for 1 year and said, I'm done. Because the students didn't learn much, the athletes weren't well taken care of, and I was worn out. You can do one thing at a time really good. And if you try to do multiples, it can lead to a lack of integrity. You're not able to concentrate on what you need to concentrate on. Next, a father teaches. Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. There's so many things that a father teaches, so many things that a mother teaches. And some of it's tangible, some of it's just things you pick up you don't really realize. They can teach you how to be a handyman. I failed that class. I didn't pay attention. I can't tell a lie. Dad would work on tractors all the time, and I just, that just wasn't my thing. I regret it now. But dads can teach you how to be a handyman. They teach the importance of formal education. There was no doubt I was going to college. It was never a thought. It was just where. It's just the way we grew up. And for me, there was never a thought I was going to go get a master's. I was going to get a master's degree. It didn't matter. I was going to do it. I didn't know when, but I was going to do it. And those are the things that I did. It was just understood in our house. Also, dads teach you how to treat other people. Jeff and Kim were telling the story this morning about dropping the kids off, drop off Perry and Hannah for camp at Long Hollow. They went to camp, and youth minister at Long Hollow said, "Girls, get on the bus. Guys, stay here." Okay. Teaching the young men how to be gentlemen. You will be a gentleman to these girls this week. You will open doors. You will do this. You will do that. That's something that I was taught. I try to open the door. I try to be a gentleman. That's something I learned through the years. That's something dads teach. Also, teach daughters how they should be treated. Because how a dad treats his daughter goes a long way in how a husband treats that daughter. So things that we don't realize are teaching situations are actually teaching situations. So it's important to make sure we know what we're doing, to pay attention to how we're treating our wife, how we're treating other people, how we're just behaving as a general rule. We want to be able to shine examples so our children know either how to treat somebody or how to be treated. This also means teaching and modeling for our children how to spend time with God. And I'm pretty bad about this. We say prayers every night. We try to say prayers at dinner. But I don't do enough to model the behavior of spending time in study. So that's one of the things I want to work on. It's a challenge. And every time I do one of the lessons, I try to challenge myself in some way. And this is one of the lessons. This is one of the challenges I want to give myself. I don't spend enough time showing them how to spend time studying. So that's one of the things I want to work on. Because what I do is going to reflect what they do. So teaching. We teach all the time. Also the second verse, which I forgot to pull up. But start children off on the way they should go. And even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Same thing. What they learn today is how they're going to be when they get older. What they see today, what the behavior that they see modeled will determine where they go. A father provides. That's a long passage here, but let's go through it. Matthew 7, 9 through 12. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. That's the golden rule. It's important. As men, we're supposed to provide. We're supposed to provide for our family. Food, clothing, housing, and a host of other attributes. And we're providing. Fathers also show their children how to better understand the love of God. And if a child can, and I'm going to read this because I'm afraid I'll mess it up if I try to paraphrase it. If a child does not see an earthly parent sacrifice even small things, how can they wrap their head around the idea of the large sacrifice that God made for us? You know, sometimes it's sharing a blizzard. I got a blizzard at Dairy Queen last week. I thought I was going to enjoy it. I didn't. Charlie did. We shared. But that's just a small sacrifice. It's okay. We know now not to order her any ice cream. Just get a blizzard. We'll share it. It's okay. But just small sacrifices like that, if they can't understand that little small sacrifice, how in the world are they ever going to understand what God did for us? By sacrificing Jesus. And that's what it's talking about there in terms of just showing what needs to be done. Showing that sacrifice. A father disciplines and corrects. Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and as a father, the son he delights in. Discipline's not fun. It's a part of my job every day is to discipline students. It's part of my job every day as a parent to make sure to discipline them in the correct way. And Betsy and I spend time talking about how our expectations for the girls and what we want them to be. And sometimes they don't understand it. Sometimes it's any kid, they do their own thing. They just want to see how far they can push it. And I see that at the high school level every day. How far can I push it before I get kicked out of here? You know, and sometimes I sat down one day with a young man. I knew I was going to discipline him, but I had not determined what the discipline was going to be. He just kept talking. He kept talking, kept talking. And I decided, we're going to send him to disciplinary hearing. Let the school system decide what they're going to do with him. The stack of write-ups was about that thick, and he'd only been there 4 or 5 months. He came in late. We got to the hearing. They expelled him because they started looking at the list. I had another disciplinary hearing. I took a girl, 50-50 shot. Was she going to come back or not? I don't know. Then she started talking. No joke. I sat there, closed my folder, and just let it play out. She got sent to the alternative school. I thought it was 50-50 going in, but when they heard all of what she had done, smoking marijuana during school hours, skipping class, doing this, doing that, they sent her to alternative school. Discipline's hard. Sometimes you feel like the bad guy, but it's okay. You send them to timeout or bedroom or whatever it is, the discipline you have. At the end of the day, they still love you. Because eventually they're going to figure out, it's a good thing that mom and dad disciplined me. It's a good thing they taught me how to be right, how to do right. So we have to do that. We have to lay that foundation. But we also have to have a foundation of love when we discipline. They know that we love them. We also know that they love suckers and candy and blizzards and all that. But they know that we love them. So when we discipline them, they get it. They still come back to us. And that's one of the things as administrator, as assistant principal, I tried to do is build a relationship with a kid. But sometimes you just can't build relationships with kids. But with our children, we have to build those relationships. We have to lay that foundation. We have to be that loving, caring person to them to know that they're safe with us. Because if they're not safe with us, who are they going to be safe with? So that's what we want to do to build that foundation. We have to build that foundation of love and safety and also work on the discipline and correcting of the bad behaviors. Father protects. Proverbs 14:26. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. We protect our families. We watch out for them. We watch out for them in public. We watch out for them at home. You know, when you hear that silence, you have a toddler in the house. Something bad's about to happen. Or has already happened. Or you hear nothing and then you hear a scream. We have to protect them. We can't protect them everything. One of the advantages, I think, of being an older dad is just you learn by mistakes. Maddie liked to climb in the cabinet with the pots and pans. It's all fun and games until Charlie closed her thumb in the door. 3 stitches later and ER visit. Okay, we're going to lock that door up. That door needs to be locked. That was a lesson for us. But we can't protect them from everything. We learned that she didn't need to be in that door because she could get in there and have fun, and Charlie accidentally closed the door on her, and that causes a problem. But we want to protect our children from as much as we can. This world's a harsh place. I think everybody knows that this world's a harsh place. It's we can protect them only so much, but we have to let them know that there's always safety in us. There's always safety coming back to us, and there's always safety in knowing God and praying about things. And so that's what we do. We try to protect them. We want them to feel safe because if the safer they are, the greater their chance of surviving, of thriving is. Father loves. I'm going to go back. Father loves. Psalms 103, verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We have to love our children. And one of the things that sometimes gets lost in society is we have to love our spouse, too. I don't know how many times I've seen couples who, the couple didn't really seem to like each other, but they love their kids. And it's easy to get lost. It's easy to let that get lost in there. But who are we with first? Who do we marry? Who do we choose to spend our life with? So we have to love our spouse. Date nights are a good thing. Having the sing girls come over and watch your daughters is okay. It's very important that they see that love. There have been times that Betsy and I will kiss in the car, and one time Charles said, do it again. We had to tell her, don't kiss mommy and daddy on the lips. Only mommy and daddy kiss on the lips. But she sees that, and I hope she sees it as genuine. And I hope she has that one day with her husband. Whatever form that takes for her and her husband to love each other and for Maddie. But for them to love each other no matter what's going on. We have to love our children. It goes back to everything about being with your children is built on loving them. Loving them, and they know they're going to be safe. They know that they can come to you for anything. They can take care, we'll try to take care as much as we can. Still give them that freedom, which is scary sometimes, but let them grow up. But a father loves more than anything. And the seventh one, a father leaves a legacy. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. 3 John verse 4. Have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Our legacy is not going to be us. Our legacy is going to be our children and their children. And their children, and so on and so forth. A couple years ago, about 4 years ago, I did Ancestry.com. I had a job where I wasn't doing a whole lot. I had plenty of time to kill. And so I went on Ancestry.com and started going back. And I needed to pull it back up so I can talk to Dad about it again and Mom about it again, because they started talking about these people. I'd heard names, but I didn't know. I knew my name's spelled a little differently. I knew it was a family name. It's named after my grandfather. Named after both grandfathers, George, Johnny. But the spelling's kind of unique. Not many men spell it I-E in the Johnny part. It's usually the female version of the name. But so I knew my grandfather. And then when I was doing Ancestry.com, I could go back and see that my name actually came from somewhere else down the line. So it's a legacy. Mom's name. Never seen this name anywhere else in the world until I went to Ancestry.com. Her name is Elian, E-L-L-I-E-N. If you ever want a name to be butchered, people don't have a clue how to say it when they see it. Ellen, Eileen, they try to tell her what her name is. I know, pretty sure I know she knows her name. But it's a family name from somewhere down the line. So names create legacies through the years. But dads create legacies. And sometimes that legacy is a bad legacy. We say that in our kids all the time that come to church here. Reach. They don't know their dads. I had another student, see him for a disciplinary hearing. His dad had just gotten out of jail, and the dad sat there and he said, it's my fault. He said, I just got out of prison. I've not been the dad I should have been. You're right. First step's acknowledging. And he's going to try to make it right. But how much can he do for a 16-year-old boy? Boy lives in Gallatin, dad lives in Laverne. So what kind of legacy is that kid destined for at this point? Unless dad can correct it. What kind of legacy is dad destined for? So we have to be mindful of that with our children. When we send them out, they're a reflection upon us. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing. But that's the legacy we create. What we do with our children is probably based on what our parents did, which is based on what their parents did, which is based on what their parents did, and then go the other way. I know Mom and I have talked several times about things that she encountered, that the way she was treated as a child by her parents. She intentionally did things differently, which I'm thinking worked out all right. She's got at least two good sons. The oldest one's still questionable at times. But that's the legacy that they're leaving. That's being passed down to their grandkids. It'll be passed down to their great-grandkids. And that's if you think about it, that's a little bit of pressure right there. How are we going to treat our kids and what legacy are we going to leave with them? As with any job, being a parent, to do your job right takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. To be good and not just good enough. Being good enough, I think, ruins a lot of things. Being truly good at something takes a lot of work. And being a dad's 24/7 job. Even if they're at school or they're at daycare or they're with the babysitter or they're out doing an activity or they're at camp or whatever, you're still that parent. It's a lot of work. You know, as an assistant principal, I've gotten to see teachers, and I get to see how hard that job actually is and how bad I really was. Because I didn't put enough effort into doing that job. I didn't go out and see other things. The great thing is we have a lot of good examples, whether it be our dads or we see the other dads around here and the work that they do. No matter what we say or how much we kid about this guy over here, look at his three daughters. I think we'd put those three girls up against anybody. Now, granted, I think the mom helped a whole lot. But it's a team effort. It's not just one parent. It's two to be successful. So that's a challenge that we have as dads or soon-to-be dads or going-to-be dads or being a dad figure. You know, I got started in this whole children game a little late in life. And I still consider myself a quote-unquote young dad because I have young kids. But I served as a dad-type figure for years for kids. And there's still a young man that he graduated, I don't know, 7 to 8 years ago. He still calls me every so often. We'll go to lunch. We don't go to lunch as often anymore because he's finishing up school and working, and I'm working and have family. But we'll just talk every so often. He'll just want to call. And one, he just wants to brag on himself because I know the depths he reached at one point. 0.0, two semesters in a row in college. Might have dabbled a little bit in alcohol and drugs. But today, he's going to graduate in December with a bachelor's degree, and in January he's going to start on his master's degree. He wants to call every so often to pat himself on the back. And I think it's great because I've seen where he was in high school. I saw where he was in first time in college. Now I see where he is. That's my first probably true experience being a dad figure. But we have that opportunity every day, every Sunday and Wednesday night, during camp, during Lone Oak, during church camp, day camp, trying to make a difference in somebody's life. I know yesterday you guys went to a football game at Western Kentucky, one of our kids. That means a lot just to see somebody in the stands. See that somebody drove up there to watch them play. We have great role models, again, whether it be our dads or the people we see around here. And I want us to help each other out. Moms, I want you all to help each other out. Because sometimes there are just times. Your wit's end. You have a bald patch because you pulled your hair out. Because some kid. One of those two, more than likely, for us. Drove us to the edge of insanity. But we know it's going to be okay. We know we can call somebody. We can talk to somebody. We can just try to work it through. We can work it through together. As a couple, as a husband and wife, as mom and dad. But we have a chance, dads. We have some really good dads. We have some men who are going to be good dads. We have that chance to work together. We can base it off what we've read and what we've learned through the years about our ultimate Father and God. And we can be those shining examples. I didn't want this to be a dad bash. First screen that Betsy saw last night was number 10 on the men's translator. She's like, "You're not bashing dads tomorrow." I said, No. No, because I heard that growing up. Dads are vital for success of children. Moms are vital for success of children. Moms and dads really determine how good that kid is going to be. So the challenge would be for me is do a better job of modeling behavior for studying the Bible and praying. Think about what challenge you may want to have. Think about what can make you make that next step. Be like the title of the book, From Good to Great. So, that's about all I have at this point. So if you'll please join us as we stand and sing number 810.